Welcome back, guys, to Yankees Unloaded. I'm Jake Ellenbogen, unfortunately unable to join me today, and we'll probably be back soon, Gary Sheffield Jr., but we got a show to run, obviously. Appreciate everybody in the comment section shouting out Gary. Such a cool thing, him to, you know, have a child and everything. So since he is busy with everything that goes with that, he will be back when he can. But he did try to do this. It's just obviously, you know, he's busy. So look, Yankees won today. I know it's surprising. Don't fall out of your seat. 2-1 over the Tampa Bay Rays. We're going to dive into this game. Before we do, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment. Also, be sure to follow me on all social media at JK Bogan. Follow Gary on social media at Gary Sheffield Jr. And follow Yankees Unloaded at Yankees Unloaded. So let's dive into this game, and then I want to talk about some other things. Because let's start off with a negative, okay? Because there's going to be a decent amount of positives. They won the game. The Baltimore Orioles lost. They're two games back, despite just awful baseball the last, I mean, however many games. They were 21-16 over the last 21 games. Over the last 21 games. 5-16 over the last 21 games. So to only be two games back from the Orioles is insane to me. It's not even really... like, I can hardly believe it, but it is true. However, the Red Sox have also gained. They're now 6.5 back. Tampa Bay, I mean, I know the Yankees won today. Tampa Bay is still in the mix, 12. And then Toronto, I would say, is out of it. They're probably going to be sellers. They're 15. So, look, going to be honest with you. Going into today, and I'm sure I am not the only one who thinks this, I was really ticked off, seeing this lineup. I was really ticked off seeing that there was not one move made. So you have Yankees brass and, you know, everybody's out there. Brian Cashman is, talking up how the Yankees are struggling and how guys have to produce and all that. And he didn't do one move going into this game. Not one. The only thing that was announced was Tim Mayza. Okay. They went out and got a minor league contract for Tim Mayza, the guy who is only known because Aaron Judge hit his 61st home run off him. And the Yankees, I believe, destroyed him the other day. So, look, not great. Nothing against him, but, like, you would have liked to see more done to help this roster because it's just not great right now. You know, DJ LeMahieu had two hits yesterday. He's still DJ LeMahieu. He's still struggling. He's going to continue to struggle. You know, he is not he is not getting any younger. OK, so that was a thing that annoyed me. Not that I expected them to do what I thought they should, but it's just annoying to see that they continue to trot out this lineup. And then today, Ben Rice, I will actually go to bat for Aaron Boone on this. I totally get why he hit Ben Rice in the cleanup spot. Unfortunately with Ben Rice, his power being evident now that he's, you know, feeling confident and he's going yard on these pitchers, has four home runs in his young season. You're going to start to see him take more chances. He's not swinging with that same, you know, calm approach, kind of really trying to hack at it. And it's led to three strikeouts in this one. I believe his first three strikeout game. But I wanted to say I really agreed with him hitting cleanup. The problem is the Yankees, if they're going to hit him cleanup, they do not have a leadoff hitter, okay? The way Volpe's hitting right now, can't trust him. You know, on-base percentage is barely over 300. It's in free fall mode. Verdugo's is below 300. And while he's been hitting well today, he just jumped on the first pitch a couple times in those at-bats. Didn't really work the count. The whole basis of being the leadoff hitter in this team, you don't have to hit a home run. You don't have to do anything crazy. Get on base so Juan Soto has a chance to drive you in. And if not, he has a chance to move you over for Aaron Judge to drive you in. That is the name of the game here. And by the way, if you can't score between Soto and Judge and say you're all on base, that's the whole point of Ben Rice being the cleanup hitter. That's why I understood the rationale behind it. I mean, the guy has a 531 slugging percentage, okay? That's just, 15 points behind Juan Soto. So there's a reason why Ben Rice was moved to cleanup because the value, I can totally see it. The run potential, the value and everything is there because they have guys on base. You know, it's more likely he's going to be able to do damage with guys on base instead of hitting just a solo shot. And that's happened already. Not saying it happens every time he hits a home run, but it's happened. And so that does matter. So I'm going to say I do agree with that. However, you know, like they're not going to take Glaber out of the lineup, whatever. Glaber's kind of back and forth for me. I mean, I'm over him. To be honest with you, he's not going to be a Yankee after this year. We already know that. But it's just, I don't know. It's a little frustrating to kind of see the same thing trotted out. Volpe had a nice hit, you know, and he scored a run. Aside from that, you know, he's really just not doing that well. 1-for-4 on the day isn't anything to go crazy about. It's pretty much what his average is for the year, 249 on the year. Then you have Grisham, who was the hero of today, okay? Trent Grisham is kind of all over the place for me. He has his moments where he'll, you know, hit a 3-run jack and you feel good about him. And, you know, he makes a play in center field. And then he has his moments where he doesn't make a play in center field with no effort whatsoever. And yeah, he's incredibly frustrating staring at a pitch right down the plate. But in this one, he only had one hit, but he brought in two ribbies today. And the thing that was most important is that Clay Holmes got his first save since June 9th. And I'm not even going to lie to you. Clay Holmes didn't really even deserve that save because I don't want to say that. I don't want to take too much away from him. He had a four batter save. But and he had two strikeouts, including one where the bat went flying. That's how you know you really struck somebody out. But my point here is that Grisham saved this game. Okay, this was a blown save through and through. You know, the line shot into the gap and Grisham gets a great read on it and, you know, cuts it off and makes a beautiful play, running grab and everything. No, he didn't have to fall down and sprawl out. You know how those guys are, you know, the divas of baseball, in the outfield where they can't just make a catch and just, you know, run and tuck the ball into the glove. No, they have to do a whole, you know, charade where they land sprawled out and, oh, it's a diving catch. Yeah, okay, whatever. Grisham didn't do that. He made the catch and that was it. No theatrics, which you love to see. So Grisham was the hero today. You know, he drove in the only two runs the Yankees scored and he saved a potential, I think, 2-run play there that probably could have lost in the game. Definitely would have been a blown save from Clay Holmes. So huge play by Grisham, and today was a big deal for him. With that said, I don't love Grisham playing, and I'm not just going to be honest with you. I'm getting ready to see new blood here, okay? I understand this is a win. I don't want to be too negative, but I am getting ready to see new blood in this this lineup. Jose Trevino's at-bats were just kind of piss poor, if I'm being honest, 0-for-3 today. Now hitting .239, barely .300, you know, on base percentage. You know, I'm kind of over the whole Jose Trevino thing. You know, he threw a guy out today, shocker. That was actually a shocker. I think it was a Rosarena. And, I mean, that's just not good if you're getting thrown out by Jose Trevino. But the throw was actually really bad. It was completely offline. And, you know, Volpe had to make a sliding grab and, you know, it was almost perfect in a sense because he missed it so badly that he was able to tag out the runner early because of how far away from the base it was. So it ended up working out. LeMahieu was 0-for-2 today with a strikeout. He was hit by a pitch on the hand. He was okay, luckily. I mean, no, keep in mind, let's not get it twisted here. No matter what Gary and I think about a player and how he's performing and how he's struggling, whatever, we never wish injury. So I saw some people on Twitter, I'm obviously not going to call them out, but I saw some people on Twitter that were like hoping that he would leave the game because he had a hand injury. That's just low. I don't want him on the field. I would rather have, you know, both, like anybody in the minors right now. But the reality is these are human beings and LeMahieu's done a lot for this organization. So the last thing I'm going to do is wish injury on the guy. I wouldn't wish injury on my least favorite player. It's just not right. So I just wanted to put a pin in that. But Yeah, I think the big thing today for the Yankees that is going to go kind of unnoticed is the fact that the pitching was so good. And I understand Stroman had his moments, only got through 4 1/3. I told Gary he'd go through 5 1/3 when we were talking earlier today. 7 hits, 1 run given up, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts, 84 pitches. It doesn't get you the win in this sense, but Stroman did not pitch horribly. The bullpen was incredible, in my opinion. Hill had his moments, but Hill also had 2 really key strikeouts, got out of a jam. Luke Weaver got out of a jam despite walking 2. He looked really good. Canely, you know, and then Holmes was great. So altogether, this team held Tampa with 0 for 10. Okay, they were 0 for 10 today with runners in scoring position. That is insane. Lowe was 0 for 3. Walls was 0 for 1. Arozarena was 0 for 2. Rortvedt was 0 for 2. Yandy Diaz was 0 for 2. They did a great job of that. Palacios was a problem today. Base paths, stole a base, made some plays in the field, and, you know, he worked 3 walks. So, you know, or sorry, Paredes worked 3 walks. Palacios got on with a hit and, you know, made a few, you know, huge plays in the field. But all in all, the Yankees coming away with a win against the AL East is the biggest takeaway here, because they haven't been able to do that. They got Clay Holmes back in the save column. That's great. They got back in the win column. They had their first stolen base since June 14th, the last day before this whole thing really started to blow up. Clay Holmes' first save, as I previously mentioned, for the first time since June 9th. And they had some things to take away. But again, I can't stress enough, and I will not stress, I will not stop stressing it until there's something done about this lineup. Verdugo is not a leadoff hitter. He's not, okay? You're not going to put Soto or Judge there because you want the RBI potential. You want just that danger, the 1-2 punch. Rice makes sense at cleanup for now. Obviously, when Stanton comes back, he'll probably be cleanup, and they'll probably put Rice at leadoff if they don't get anybody. Torres is Torres. He hits, he doesn't hit, he hits, he doesn't hit, he commits errors in the field, he makes good plays in the field. I mean, he's kind of just back and forth. I mean, the reality is he's a .224 hitter this year with an on-base percentage below .300. I mean, that's just not very good. Volpe is falling off cliff. He had a run today, he had a hit today, but, you know, that's the way he is. Grisham, it's back and forth with him. Trevino, it's back and forth with him. And then LeMahieu, he has one game with 2 hits. And then you have the fan base, you know, trying to pretend like he's finding it out, or, you know, he's getting hot. I don't believe that. So what do you propose, Jake? Because you can't just sit here and complain if you don't have an actual proposal, you know, a plan. And as you guys know, if you've been watching this show for even a little bit now, you'd know, I always come prepared, okay? I always have an idea of where I want to go with, you know, my points. And I think really kind of looking at the trade targets that I really see for the Yankees, because let me just first preface this by saying, this is one of the worst trade deadline, like, markets I think I've ever seen, based on who is available that we know, right? The rumored guys. Maybe there are guys that are going to get traded that aren't being talked about that are huge and completely blow up the market. Okay. As of right now, this market is very weak. Okay. So I don't really see, and you always get those people that are like, just throw Jason Dominguez out there, throw Spencer Jones to the Wolves, just go out and get whatever you can to win a World Series. Yeah, that sounds all fine and dandy, but who are you going to get if you're trading away those guys? Because I hate to break it to you, as much as I love Mason Miller, I've been talking about him since the beginning of this show. Mason Miller's great, but Mason Miller does have injury concerns. Not that it really bothers me too much, but I wouldn't want to give up top dollar. And Mason Miller's just one guy. He's not going to change your team overnight, okay? He's still just one relief pitcher. Okay, he's still like, would he close? Would he be the setup man? Maybe that makes a big deal, and he would definitely help. But there are issues right now with this offense. This offense won this game, yes. Well, this team won this game, but this offense just scored 2 runs. I'm not exactly going and crowning the offense. This was Grisham. I mean, what Grisham was able to do today was a big reason why this even happened. His two runs are the only reason, right? So, I mean, let's just be honest with ourselves there. So I look at Jonathan India from, you know, the Reds, and the only question I have is how the hell is he going to make it work in the Bronx with, you know, the fact he has to cut his hair and, you know, shave that that facial hair? Because, I mean, guy's not even going to look like the same dude at all. It'll be like Johnny Damon 2.0, maybe even worse. All jokes aside, though, India, you know, this is a guy that hits 270. He's good for the leadoff spot, plays a good defense at second base. You know, I don't really know what it would cost. It's kind of hard to say. They just signed him to a two-year deal, but he is, you know, being rumored as an option. And so when you look at Jonathan India, you see what he did against the Yankees in that series, and you're like, okay, there's definitely value there. And, you know, I think having Jonathan India at second base, you know, obviously you'd probably move on from Glaber at some point at the deadline, probably move him. But, I mean, if you could get Jonathan India right now, he would help your lineup, okay? Now, let me make this very clear. I'm not out on calling up B-Boss or Downs or Spencer Jones, any of them, okay? I would prefer to call them up first. That has not changed. That would be my plan. However, I feel like the most realistic thing is that the Yankees are not going to call up any of them, and they might even trade some of them away before we even get a chance to see them in the big leagues. Jazz Chisholm has been rumored to be a almost guarantee to be traded away. Chisholm right now is somebody that I think it makes a ton of sense, would inject so much life into this locker room. You have him, you have Soto, just the excitement in the locker room, the bright personality, but then he's electric on the baseball field. You know, you talk about a guy with swagger, he's got that. Now he can play second base, he can play shortstop, he can play center field. He prefers to play second base, but, you know, he also plays center field, like I said. So this is somebody that, like, when he's on, he's really on, and he's not a bad defensive player. He's not amazing, but he'll make some highlight reel plays here and there. Good speed, another leadoff candidate, right? And then, you know, of course, I've mentioned him so many times, Tanner Scott, which would help your bullpen. You could get him with the Chisholm deal. Now, I'm not in love with the rest of these guys, because think about this. You can't tell me that you want to get so-and-so just for his bat when the same people who said that, because they, you know, like, oh, I don't care, just figure it out, just put him in the lineup. The same people saying that are the same people that were saying Jason Dominguez can't be called up from AAA because he's not going to have a spot because you can't fit him in the lineup. And to me, that's ridiculous. The way Ben Rice is hitting right now, the way he's looked at first base, there's no reason to go out and get anybody. I will say this, JD Davis won't be on the team much longer if he doesn't start actually getting playing time. I mean, I don't even remember the last time he was in the lineup. Not that I really care. I didn't mind them going after him, but I, you know, first base, they're fine. Okay. Ben Rice is your first baseman, potentially for the future. I love Austin Wells at catcher. You have Trevino as backup, although they continue to look at Trevino as a starter for whatever reason. Second base is where it's like you either have to make a decision where you're going to roll with Glaber the rest of the year, or, you know, and obviously it's just a one-year thing because he's not going to, you know, they're not going to re-sign him. He might want to come back, but they're not going to re-sign him. You know, it really depends. I mean, you have to... If you make that decision, I feel like you're just having kind of a lackluster player in your lineup. And it's sad. I'd love Glaber to be good, like, you know, he has been in the past, but he's just not right now. He's not a good baseball player right now. He's just kind of average and not even. He's not even hitting average. So, look, the way I see it at second, you either stick by Glaber, you call somebody up, or you trade for somebody. And to me, I kind of feel like the Yankees are going to trade for Chisholm. I don't think Jonathan India gets moved, but I could very well see the fit. Just not the facial hair and all that. I can't see him without the long hair and all that. Like, I can't picture that. But the baseball fit is absolutely there. Chisholm, I can absolutely see in the Bronx, would be a great fit there. Then, you know, at shortstop, what do you do with Anthony Volpe? Because I think a lot of people are wondering, like, you can't take that glove out of this roster when you're trying to win a World Series. But at the same time, it was brought up today by Michael Kay. Like, despite him hitting 150 something the last however many games, he's still in there because his glove is really good. And at some point, he'll figure it out. Maybe he won't. But at some point, I would imagine he's going to hit better than he's currently hitting. Now, with that said, I mean, how much longer do you wait? Is the glove worth it? Do you give Jeter Downs an opportunity? Do you give B-Boss an opportunity? There's not anybody on the roster that would be an upgrade over Volpe, in my opinion, at short. So it would have to be a call-up or a trade. And I don't think, you know, you put all your eggs into the proverbial Volpe basket. I don't think it makes any sense to trade for a shortstop. Although if they did that, I could see Paul DeJong, who's 30, you know, is just kind of an extra guy there on the bench. But I mean, the options are not great, folks. This trade deadline is not great. Rengifo is another one at third. Right now, I think anybody would take anyone over, you know, some of the guys that they have at third. I mean, Cabrera hasn't been great, you know, since his meteoric rise at the beginning of the year and then his complete fall from grace. You know, and then DJ LeMahieu, you know, he's really struggling. So Rengifo is not an amazing fielder by any chance, but he is hitting over 300. He is a fan favorite, I would say, based on the rumor mill and all that. I think there's tons of posts of people wanting him. So, I mean, he's an option. Aside from that, though, there's just not a lot. Like, you could say, oh, well, what about Vladdy Jr. or what about Pete Alonso? Well, the Mets look good now, so I don't think they're going to trade away Alonso. And Vladimir Guerrero Jr., even though I could totally see him getting traded, and he said he would play for the Yankees if he was traded there, it's not like he wouldn't play. They have their first baseman, okay? So, like, why would they do that? They're fine at catcher. They're fine at first. Second base, we talked about. Shortstop, maybe. Maybe you get, like, a depth piece or whatever. Third base, they're not fine. I think third base and second base are their biggest needs in the infield. Then you look in the outfield, and you're like, okay, what are we going to do here? Well, if you either ride or die with Grisham, okay, or you either do that or you let go of him or you move on. Now, there are some guys in the minors, and to me, if you were going to call up anybody, it'd have to be Spencer Jones, because you'd be doing that for something other than just, oh, yeah, he's ready. You'd be doing it to try to throw caution in the wind and light a spark and do something, right? It's like benching your starting quarterback, you know, at halftime when you know he's probably, like, the backup isn't necessarily more prepared for the start than the starter. But the starter, and it's not necessarily the starter's fault, but the way the game started, it's like, we're going to lose. Why don't you just mix things up and just do something? And to me, that's what that would be. Maybe Spencer Jones isn't ready, but the reality is, if you were to do something like that, you're doing it to kind of save face. You're like, all right, let's just throw anything at the wall. You know, let's see if we can light a spark. So, and, you know, people will comment about the strikeout rate, which I don't care about at all. Judge had a crazy strikeout rate, and, you know, he's the best hitter in baseball. So, but yeah, looking at the outfield, I mean, I think there are a few guys, maybe Pham from the White Sox. I mean, I don't love their options. Kevin Pillar, I guess, is an option. These would be depth pieces, though. Like, these wouldn't be guys that would start every day, right? I think if you're going to go that route, his value could not be lower right now. Joe Adell, I've brought him up on the show before from the Angels. I've said it over and over again. Great athlete. Okay, he's got the pop. He's got the ability. He's got the bat. All of that, it just hasn't been working with the Angels. I trust the Yankees coaches and development teams so much more than the Angels. You know, this is a former early first-round pick, and he's got tools. I mean, still young. I would be taking a flyer on Joe Adell. I think if I had an ideal trade deadline, I'd be taking a flyer on Joe Adell. I trade for Chisholm and I trade for Tanner Scott. And I would try to get one of their disgruntled pitchers as well in that from Miami, whether that's Edward Cabrera or Braxton Garrett or Sixto Sanchez. I'd want one of them with that. I'd offer more. Right now, like I said, I think everybody is open for business, you know, with the Yankees. I think everybody is available for trade, except I would say Ben Rice is off the table, which is great. I think he's totally off the table. I don't think he'd be in any trade. I think Austin Wells is off the table. The guys that are up in the big leagues are off the table. I would say, you know, for the most part, Cabrera could be available, I guess. Peraza is definitely available. I think Pereira is available despite his injury. I think Chase Hampton is available. The only guys I really feel like are untouchable are the guys that are currently in the big leagues. I don't think they want to move. And I mean, I could absolutely be wrong, but I don't think they want to move both, because I see a lot of trade offers with Lombard Jr. and Arias, and I just don't think Roderick Arias and Lombard Jr. would be in the same deal, because I think, if anything, the Yankees, they drafted Lombard Jr. last year in the first round out of high school, and it almost seems like maybe they would turn to him and try to develop him and then trade Arias or, you know, whatever. I can't see them both getting traded. But regardless, I don't think that there's anybody who is completely, you know, untradeable aside from Jason Dominguez and Spencer Jones. And I still think if there was a Juan Soto at the deadline right now and the Yankees, you know, needed a bat, I think Spencer Jones or Jason Dominguez could be available right now. I do, depending on, you know, where they saw their team. And that's another thing. Where do they see each other? Where does Cashman see this team? Because the reality is this team has now won 6 games of their last 22, okay? And they had now won their 56th game of the year. And while this turmoil has been painful to watch, they're 2 games out of first place in the AL East to one of the best teams in baseball. So it's tough because, I mean, it sucks that they lost all those games, but they won so many at the start that they're still in it. They still have capabilities to win. They're dealing with injuries. Things can change. Stanton can come back. Sounds like he's not even going to go through a rehab assignment. I do think, and I'm very much expecting, Stanton to struggle for the first 2-3 weeks coming back from injury, okay? I just think that's the reality of it. I think he'll, you know, kick on probably right around August, maybe. But that's how I feel about that. But yeah, I mean, getting him back, getting John Birdie back, that'll be great and everything. But you just don't know. And we have no idea about Clark Schmidt. Cody Poteet, we're not really sure. Does JT Brubaker even have a shot of pushing the rotation? We don't really know. There's a lot of variables here. And, you know, if you wanted to get into the pitching aspect, like starting pitching, I mean, Eflin, who pitched today, is one of those guys that could be available at the deadline. And I wasn't exactly like looking at Eflin. I don't think the Yankees would go that route. I think if the Yankees went starting pitching, it would have to be a guy for the here and now and the future. So I think it would be somebody like a Garrett Crochet. I think that would really be the only option. I think there are some other guys, you know, but like Jack Flaherty could be in play. But I think Crochet would be the only one that would make sense. And I'm not even saying that they would go that route, but I mean, I wouldn't be against it, and I definitely wouldn't be surprised if they went that route. So my point in all of this is, look, the Yankees won today, and that's great. 2-1, they beat an AL East team, and they have their 56th win of the year, okay? But it's important to remember they only scored 2 runs. They haven't been scoring runs. The offense has been kind of dismal. So they need to figure this thing out. I still wish they'd call some guys up, but at this point, I'm not very confident they're going to do that. But we do have tomorrow a very interesting matchup. You got, of course, former touted prospect Shane Baz, who only has 6 innings pitched on the year, just started pitching this season. 7 hits given up, 6 Ks, 1 walk, no homers, lost that start. Cortez is on the mound for the Yankees, 3.41 ERA. He's 4-7 this year, hasn't gotten a ton of run support, 1.08 whip, 111 innings, 100 hits given up, 106 strikeouts, 20 walks, and 15 home runs given up. Cortez has been good as of late. The Yankees are going to need him to be good because the Yankees have scored 3 runs to start the series, and then they scored 2 today to win. That's not going to always win you games. I normally say the rule of thumb is if you score 5, you're going to win 90% of games. You score 2, you just had really good pitching. So tomorrow, 6:50, going up against the Rays in the final game of a 3-game set. So we'll see what ends up happening there. The Cubs helped the Yankees out a little bit by beating Baltimore. So again, we'll monitor that. Baltimore's now lost 2 straight. That's something to keep in mind. But I think when you look at this team, if you think this is going to be the team come September, well, hell, if you think this is the team in August, I think you're sadly mistaken. Obviously, there'll be guys brought back, but I think at some point or another, Cashman is going to make a move. It's a matter of time. And I know people say to wait for the deadline. They might not have time to wait for the deadline. They might have to do something right around the All-Star break, afterwards, whatever. All-Star break is right around the corner as well, which is good for the Yankees because they need it. We saw Juan Soto today. I thought, you know, he played well, but I'm a little concerned because we heard about the hand and how he has a special glove on for it. So hopefully during the All-Star break, he can get that thing healed up. The Yankees are going nowhere if Judge or Soto go down. So just making that very clear. But those are my thoughts. So what do you guys think? You know, let me know in the comments section below. Right now, I'm not overly high on the Yankees. I'm just going to be honest with you. I do believe after the All-Star break, they magically could turn things around. But it wouldn't be magical because I think a lot of it stems from injuries. And we can sit here and say, well, every team deals with them. But yeah, the Yankees just seem not to deal with them well. So we'll see. Right now, they have a team batting average of 248. That used to be way higher. I mean, we'll see. Currently, this is not a team that I trust to make the playoffs. Okay. I think they will, but I mean, the way it stands, it looks like, you know, it's good that they started off, you know, slow later on in the year, but also earlier. So they got off to a great start and they started losing like right around this time. But it's also kind of scary that they started losing a little earlier because now, I mean, this thing could completely, you know, the wheels could come out from under them. So look, last episode, I defended Boone nonchalantly. I didn't come out and say Boone shouldn't get any blame. That's not what I was saying. But when you really think about it, Cashman needs to do more. And today, waking up and not seeing any sort of move except for Meza and not doing anything to really better your team after that performance, I don't know. And I understand, again, they won 2-1, but I'd like to start seeing some movement. We'll see what ends up happening. I think there's going to be some trade movement. I think if I had to predict right now, and maybe this is giving Cashman too much credit, I think Chisholm and Scott are going to end up on the Yankees. Okay? That's how I feel. I think Chisholm and Scott end up on the Yankees. I think they make another trade for a reliever, and I think that's their deadline. Okay? I don't know who they get rid of in that sense. Pereira, to me, feels gone. Torres feels gone. But after that, I'm not really sure. So, yeah, that's where I stand right now. Things can happen. Things can change. I have no knowledge of the sort. It's just kind of like how I'm feeling. So we'll see what ends up happening. Would like it a lot, by the way. I think Scott would be a great addition to the bullpen. And I think, of course, you know, Jazz would be great in the Bronx. But that's all I got for you guys. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. This is episode, I believe, 83 of Yankees Unloaded. I can't wait till Gary comes back. But appreciate you guys watching nonetheless, because the last episode, you guys came out in full force. We'll see how well this one does. But the last one was great. And they always are great. You guys are the best fans. I mean, we say it all the time. It's just, it's freaking awesome. We started so small at first from scratch, and now here we are approaching 1,400 subscribers. You know, we really do appreciate that. So be sure to like, subscribe, and comment, and share this around. Anyone that you think would like this, anyone that likes the Yankees, share it with them. And we'll see you guys in the next episode. Later, folks.